I'm Amy.
I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast. Kyrie, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So you are a stand-up comedian, and you are primarily located in Baltimore, Maryland. How's that?
It's cool. It's dope. There's a big comedy scene here in Baltimore. It's not really talked about, like, mainstream-wise. We just had, you know, when it comes to Baltimore comedy, we've had, I want to say Monique. We've had, after Monique, I think the next one up was Jess Hilarious. She's really popular now, and she came out of Baltimore. So the Baltimore comedy scene is growing, it's thriving. So it's pretty big here.
Yeah, I mean, are there a lot of theaters? Do you do, are there a lot of, like, venues to have stand-up shows, or are there, like, improv schools and everything?
Yeah, there's a couple of improv schools. Magoobies has an improv thing. I want to say the Baltimore Comedy Factory has an improv thing. As far as rooms, you have, like, a surplus of rooms here. Huh? You can pretty much find one for every day of the week, to be honest.
Awesome.
There's always a monthly comedy show going on. I have my own monthly comedy series. It's called OMG That's Funny. So that's my monthly comedy series. I'm actually getting my own room weekly open mic starting in March. So
that's
great. It's pretty big here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That does sound like there's a lot of stuff going on if you can go to an open mic or multiple every night of the week.
Yeah, just about. Just about every day of the week there's open mic, every weekday.
Is stand-up the, like, main comedy that you think is sort of thriving the most in Baltimore?
Yes. In Baltimore, yes. Overall, I want to say no. Right now, I feel like the thing that's thriving when it comes to comedy is social media personalities. And I say that because nowadays everything is determined by followers. You could be the funniest person in the world, but if you don't have over 100,000 followers, no one's looking your way.
Right?
A lot of labels, TV networks, managers, agents, they're all looking, how many people can you get to follow you?
Yeah.
You know, so when it's different when you're actually, like, you have one person who's out here working rooms and perfecting their stand-up craft, and then you have someone that's, you know, doing social media videos. You know, that person that's out here working rooms and perfecting their stand-up, they you know, I mean, they're 9 times out of 10, they don't have that huge social media following. And then you have that person that's doing the, you know, social media stuff. They might not be as funny as the actual stand-up comedian, but they have that huge social media following. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think there was an article very recently about that, about how, like, comedy is taking a hit in quality because of that particular thing. What do you think about it?
Me personally, and this is not like to throw shit at anyone, I would kind of agree with that, because you have to understand, when you're a stand-up comedian, you're on stage, there are no, like, you can't afford any mistakes. You can't tell a joke then say, hey, you know, I didn't tell it right, let me tell it to y'all again so y'all can laugh.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? You can't do that. Now, when you're on Instagram, You're recording, you're cutting, you're taking, you're editing, you're chopping it up to be funny. Those 60 seconds, you're recording over and over until you can make that a funny 60 seconds. When you're on stage, there's no stop, pause, let me do it again. You know what I mean? Like, what you say is what you get. So, yeah, I would say it's taking a hit in quality. Only, you know what I mean, in the sense of, like, the people, I won't say most, some of the Instagram comedians, like, outside of those 60 seconds, they can't be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how that is, you know, because you're right. They are, like, editing their stuff together and taking time and looking at it. It feels like a totally different skill, you know, like.
And that's why I say I don't really, like, I don't want to take anything away from them, because me personally, like, on Twitter, I do, like, I don't do, like, a lot of Instagram videos, but I do it on Twitter, and it, you know, they're pretty funny. Now, when I, like, how you say it's a skill, like, those are, like, okay, so you know how they used to say, like, oh, yeah, well, they're TV show funny, but they're not movie funny.
Sure.
Or, you know what I mean? Oh, they're movie funny, but they're not funny in TV shows. Oh, he's stand-up funny, but he's not funny when he's acting. Like, I feel like social media is its own form of comedy. You can be social media funny, but that doesn't make you stand-up funny. You can be stand-up funny, but that doesn't make you, you know, social media funny.
Yeah, well, so I think the other thing, too, is that, like, at the end of the day, any one of the people who becomes popular, if they get a job in the industry, then they have to go in and play the game of that is the industry. So, like, you can be as great as you want and have a million followers, but if you try to get a television show and, like, can't work with network executives or whatever, like a director or something, then you're going to be lost.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, a lot of these it's more of an expose type thing. Like, I think the same can be said for a stand up comedian like myself. If, you know, by the grace of God, by any blessings, today or tomorrow, someone calls me, hey, we want to give you a TV show, we want to do this TV show with you, and I get up there and I'm hilarious on stage, but I get in front of this camera and I cannot make the written jokes funny, then that just says something about my level of talent, if you ask me.
Yeah, but I wonder, so, like, when they are, because you're right that, like, to get far in the industry, like, they're looking at numbers of followers, and also the idea of many followers doesn't necessarily indicate quality. It just indicates sort of, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't even understand, to be honest with you, how it works, unless it's like expert marketing or like using, you know, those companies that like buy followers for you, that kind of stuff. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, there's this website, right? I want to say it's called LifeSwap.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called. But what it does is you can actually buy social media pages with a lot of followers.
Hmm.
And, you know, some celebrities have done it. They'll go and they'll buy a page with about 50 or 60,000 active followers. And then, you know, they'll post their videos on there to bring attention to themselves. And it's wild because you can actually make a pretty good income off of those pages if those are all active followers. You know, I know people who bought pages for about $2,000-$3,000. And invested that money into themselves. And while some people look at it as cheating, I kind of think it's cheating, but it's still an investment, you know what I mean? Like, followers is where it counts. And the whole follower thing, kind of, like, I see it, and I like it and I don't, because, like, I get why they, like, look at followers, because it's like, okay, if I have 1 million followers, they're like, okay, we can put him on a TV show, and that's 1 million people that'll watch just for him.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But on the flip side, it's like, oh, they have 1 million followers. Well, Kim, how many followers does Kim Kardashian have?
I don't know. Billions, I bet.
Right. So Kim Kardashian has, let me try to figure it out. Kim Kardashian has.
It's okay. You can make it up. I don't need any reality.
No. 108 million followers. She has 108 million followers.
Wow.
What talent does Kim Kardashian have?
Yeah, it's true.
You understand what I'm saying? That's the downside to followers to me. Because you have these people, some people who are genuinely talented have a lot of followers, but then you have people who have followers for no particular reason. That's the tricky thing about the follower thing, why it's weird that it's all based on followers to me.
Hmm. Do you think that some of it has to do, I mean, with the stand-up versus, like, social media videos, do you think it has to do with live theater? Because I always worry about that. I do sketch comedy and improv comedy, and people are always like, why don't you film your sketches and put them on the internet, and then a bunch of people will see them? And part of me, well, I'll do it occasionally, but, like, there's a part of me that's like, no, like, come into the theater. Like, come and be in a room with me, you know? And maybe that's just a dying art that I'm, like, holding on to.
No, it's not. Actually, my girlfriend, that's something my girlfriend brings up, like, all the time. She even jokes about it with me. about how disconnected society is from actually being in the moment because of their phones and stuff like that and the internet. And no, I definitely understand, because it's like me, I don't post a lot of clips of my stand-up. I feel like if you want to see my stand-up, come to one of my shows. Buy a ticket to one of my shows. You know what I mean? Find out where I'm hosting that. Find out where I'm performing that. Come to one of my shows. It's probably, you want to go out and get that live feel, that entertainment feel. Like, it's different when it's like recorded and posted online.
Yeah.
You understand? But then you have to understand, there's a whole generation of people who really don't understand what it's like to live without cell phones. Like, I have a bunch of little cousins, and I'm like, oh, yeah, y'all should come see me do stand-up. They're like, yeah, live stream it. Live stream it. What? They're like, yeah, watch it. You know, we'll watch you on live stream. Because a lot of these kids and a lot of these people, they don't come outside of the house. Like, there's a whole generation of people who don't know, who they don't understand what it's like to go somewhere and not post about it on Instagram or Twitter or to post about it and talk about it on Facebook or to put it on a hashtag.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it is wild to think about that. And I wonder if the idea of that generation who only know this kind of thing, and the fact that, like, you know, comedy producers are looking for people with a lot of followers, those things seem to go hand in hand. You know, they're like, well, the young kids don't want to leave their house, so we'll just give them the people they like online. So weird. That's so weird how that is.
Yeah, and that's essentially it. But, like, it's weird. Like, when I say it's weird, it's like, I get it. Like I said, I get it, then I don't get it. Like, I get it as business, but I don't get it because it's like that quality is not there. Followers don't equal talent. You understand? Talent doesn't necessarily equal followers. You know, like, you have someone like Monique, who I think is a great female comedian, one of the best female comedians, and she doesn't even have, I want to say, she has 100,000, maybe 60,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, but she was famous before it was a big thing. Before the internet was super huge, she was famous for doing, you know, movies and TV and stuff like that.
Yeah, she's at 260,000. Right? 260,000 followers. And it's like a lot of those came, you know, from the recent stuff with her and Netflix and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, then you had someone like Amy Schumer, who I personally think couldn't hold a candle towards Monique. Yeah. And she has over a million something followers. But like you said, it's all about the times. Like, Amy Schumer came up. She got her rise in the time where social media was growing and booming, and Monique didn't. Monique was out way before then, so.
Yeah. No, I wonder about people like Amy Schumer, because I don't love her. I have a hard time with her, but I don't know why exactly. And people are, like, obsessed with her, you know what I mean?
I would be honest, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't find her funny. Me and my girlfriend does normally do. We'll find a comedian, or if it's like a comedy show, a new live special, a new comedy series. We'll find it, we'll watch it, and we'll talk about it. Like, we'll talk about whether or not we think, you know what I mean, it's funny or not. And, like, we tried to watch Amy Schumer's Letter special, but it was literally, like, cringeworthy bad. Like,
yeah.
Just couldn't get with it.
Yeah, it's like, it makes me think of, like, it's like frat boy humor.
And it's like, all she talks about is every time. Not that, like, again, not that, like, now. It's just, it's
no,
just not
but
my
it's
style.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, 50% of us have one. We don't want to talk about it all the time.
My vagina smells. Like,
we don't need to discuss it. But that being said, I'm a little bit older, so that's me too being like, okay, now, ladies, let's keep a, you know, lid on it. You said you and your girlfriend watch a lot of new comedy series. What's the most favorite one that you just watched with her?
The Heart of the City, the Kevin Hart, Heart of the City. That's like the, like, I like that stand-up.
What was stand-up that, Kevin, like, Hart?
He has this thing where he goes to, like, different cities And what he'll do is he'll find, like, the cities that's not really, like, famous for comedy, and he'll find the best stand-up comics there.
Oh. Oh, so it's not like his stand-up. It's like he does a show where he showcases other comics?
Yeah, and actually, he has about two or three shows like that.
Huh.
There's Kevin Hart, Heart of City, Kevin Hart, The Next Level, and I think there's one more.
Huh.
We watched the, what is it?
Oh, nice of
you. We watched the Def Jam, All Def Comedy.
Oh, yeah, that they just put on Netflix?
Mm-mm. There's a new season on HBO. They brought back the actual series.
Oh. I thought they just had one, like it was like an anniversary one. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Nah, that was awful. Like, I'm not even
that was awful? That was like, I didn't see awful. It. Yeah, I don't love the group ones. When there's like a bunch of comedians on a show, I don't usually, like on a television, you know, stand-up thing, I don't watch it. I like to watch the individuals. Oh, except for there was like a Netflix series with like six different stand-ups and they each got their own half hour. That I liked. I liked that one. That was nice. That was like, Netflix. I feel like it was nice of Netflix to, like, give a chance to the, like, newer comedians. And then the cool thing was, after I watched it, I saw two or three of the people from that show get in, you know, television shows and stuff. I love that stuff. My favorite is when I see a person who I've watched in commercials and stuff, and then I see them as like a small part in a sitcom, and I'm like, yeah, you did it! Oh my god! Yesterday you were selling me soap, and right now you're the secretary! You're great!
Yeah,
you know.
I like saying stuff like that too. Like actually watching people like rise from like small roles to like being like these like phenomenal, like Tiffany Haddish, Gerard Carmichael.
Right.
Those are two people that me and my girlfriend have, we watched them go from like background one line roles to like headlining their own comedy specials on networks, on big networks.
Yeah.
Gerard Carmichael, he just had one. Tiffany Haddish just had one. Tiffany Haddish had Girls Trip. Gerard Carmichael, we had the Gerard Carmichael show, the Carmichael show.
Yeah.
And that's like critically acclaimed. You know what I mean? So I just think all of it. Like, I love to see people rise. Actually, there's one person, social media wise, Katie Don. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. But Katie Don, like, I remember watching her start out doing little videos and stuff, and the other day I saw an AT&T commercial, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That's fun. That's awesome. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. I've seen people along the way in my career doing like live theater and stuff, and then all of a sudden they're in a movie or a television show and stuff, and you're like, ooh, from Shakespeare to Law and Order. Wonderful.
That's hilarious. Like, Law and Order is still like, once I get to that level where I'm acting, I want to do an episode of SVU. I want to do an episode of Walking Dead. Like, I want to be on Issa Rae's. Issa Rae. That's another person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watching her go from YouTube to HBO, amazing. Like, yeah. I want to be in one of her projects.
Yeah, she's great. That was a great success story, too. You're right. To know that, like, her series did so well on YouTube that they were like, yeah, we're going to give you a show. That was great. Plus, I love her show.
Most people don't realize Awkward Black Girl is basically Insecure.
Yeah.
With a budget. Like, it's the same show with a budget.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting to see those kinds of things to move forward. I like to, she's so professional. Issa Rae is so professional. Like, I watch all the Insecure episodes on HBO, and they'll do yeah. like scenes after. They'll be like, stay tuned after for you know, a little behind the scenes, and she'll do like interviews with the other actors and stuff about things that they're working on, or like, what do you think? How crazy was it to do that sex scene? Or like, what do you think that about people being mad at you for XYZ? And it's so, she's just so cute, and I don't know. Every time I see her, she's wonderful. She's a great inspiration for sure, Issa Rae is.
She's an amazing inspiration. Like, she has this thing where she, like, in my opinion, it's like you cut out the middleman. Like, I feel like that's one of the major benefits of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I mean? It's like, you really, at this point in age, at this time, right, you really don't need a TV network. And mm-hmm. when I say that, you can take your YouTube channel and make that a television channel. Like, you can record, you can go out, film, produce, edit your own TV show, your own series, and put it on YouTube, advertise it like a TV show, and just pick up, hey, you want to put a TV show on my YouTube channel? And next thing you know, you're your own network.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is fascinating to see how, you know, if you work hard enough, if you, at this point, I feel like the way that it works is if they see that you can do it all yourself, they'll give you money to do it more yourself.
Yep, that's pretty much how it is.
They're like, we don't want to help. We'll give you money once we know you don't really need our money. God, I feel like that's the case for all money. Oh, boy. on your website, I wanted to ask you this because I didn't know what it meant because I'm not from Baltimore, but on your website, it says you are, quote, as Baltimore as it gets. What does that mean?
You know, it's funny. Me and a couple friends were going over my website, and they were saying I should revise my bio. But yeah. The term as Baltimore as it gets is like, I'm actually, like, I grew up. I'm born and raised in Baltimore, East Baltimore. I went to Baltimore City Public School. Like, I'm always in Baltimore. Like, Baltimore is where I'm from. When I talk, you hear that. You hear how I talk, the way I act. It's all just Baltimore. Like even though I had a couple friends, they were like joking. I had to teach them how to say, because how you say Baltimore, like how when you say Baltimore, you say Baltimore.
Oh yeah.
When someone from Baltimore says Baltimore, it's Baltimore. Like,
oh, like a D instead of a T. Yeah.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Yeah, right on. Right on. So you're born and raised there. Are you planning on, now I know you're young, or I assume you're young, meaning you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Cause, so, like, are you planning on, like, staying in Baltimore, or are you going to, you know, do New York or L.A., or are you going to do, like we were talking about, and make your own television show, and you don't have to move anywhere?
So right now, my plan is to, if there's an opportunity, for me, it's, like, all about, I recently had a daughter, at the end of December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Me and my girlfriend, so I have a family. So right now, like, at one point, you know, me and my girlfriend were talking about, hey, let's move to L.A. You know what I mean? Let's just move to L.A. for, like, 6 months and see how it goes and see what opportunities we can get. And then it's like, you know what I mean? Now it's like those are just, you know, things you just talk about. Like, Baltimore is great. I have a great job. The stand-up is going well. I'm getting a lot of opportunities here. If I can just, you know what I mean? Like, I just need that one. If I'm offered an opportunity, you know, and the money's right, I would definitely move to L.A. or New York. I'll say that.
Sure. Now, as far as, like, projects and stuff, though, do you have any, like, projects that are going online? Or are you going to stay focused on the live stand-up?
No, actually, my palette is about to be pretty full. I have, I just got my first brand ambassadorship. So when I start this early March, we're going to be filming a YouTube series.
Nice.
I really can't say too much about it, but it's going to put a spotlight on Baltimore comics.
Great.
Yeah, so it's going to put a spotlight on Baltimore youth and comics. I have the brand ambassadorship. It's through Rip Canvas Tattoos. So what I'll be doing is one of the projects, I'll be interviewing people before they get a tattoo recording them, you know, while they're getting the tattoo, after talking to the artist, just seeing what the tattoo means to them. You know what I mean? Like, what it means to the tattoo artist to be the one to be able to do this tattoo. So, yeah, I have things coming up. I have my a monthly comedy series, like I said. I have my open mic that's starting the middle of March.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's awesome. Yeah.
I have, you know what's funny? I actually have 1, 2, 3. I have 3 series written out. I have outlines for, I have an outline for one, and I have scripts written out for the other two.
Oh, like multiple, like the pilot script or like multiple episodes?
Multiple episodes. I have the pilot script written. So one of them, the entire series is written out. The other one, I just have the pilot script. And the third one, I'm doing, like, I'm still working on the outline.
That's so great. So you do a lot of writing and stuff like that, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I ghostwrite. Like, I'll sell tweets for, like, you know, about $5. So I'll sell tweets to people. I've had celebrities hit me up asking me to write for them. So, like, my whole thing with that is, like, I'm not all about the money, but it's, like, I'm not, like, I'm the type, like, I need some type of, like, I'm good at what I do. So yeah. I need to be paid for what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, you know what I mean, yeah, money isn't good. People like it.
Yeah. People like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, man. So that's great that your writing has brought in, you know, revenue since then. That's wonderful that you have that kind of reach that people are like, okay, I want this guy to write me a tweet or write something for me. Do you have a writing agent?
I don't have a writing agent.
Oh, right on.
I'm actually looking at getting a booking agent.
Yeah.
For my stand-up. I want to get into acting. That's one of the reasons I've written out these scripts and these shows is I want to get into acting. You know what I mean? And like, we're in a day and age where you can literally create your own opportunities.
Yeah. Especially if you've written, you know, like 2.5 series already. You could just be making your own stuff. Who needs other people? You could probably Kickstarter enough to make the series or the movies, and then you're the star in your own show. That's awesome.
Yeah, I would if I stopped getting suspended. Twitter to me is my biggest fan base. My original account, I got it to 14,000, and that was like an actual genuine 14,000. And you know, when I got suspended from that, it really came out of nowhere. I can't even tell you what tweet it was that got me suspended the first time. Like, they've never said what they just. And this is why, you know, I have such a problem with Twitter's rules and regulations and why I say they're hypocritical. The recent time that I've gotten suspended, there was a tweet, right? And the tweet said, when Caitlyn Jenner laughs too hard. And the gif that I put with it is a penis popping out, right?
Right.
Right, and the caption said, when Caitlyn Jenner laughs too hard.
Right.
So, boom, you know what I mean? Just making light of the situation. And the tweet itself, when it got to 5,000 favorites and retweets or whatever, nothing. 10,000, nothing. 15,000, I had 1 or 2 people say I was transphobic or whatever, but I asked them how, and they couldn't explain how. And then when it got to 29,000, my account got suspended. And when I looked at the email explaining why, it said, hate mongering, well, you know, spreading hate, discrimination. And they're like, how, like, no one can logically say how that's spreading hate or discrimination. But, and when this is why I say they're hypocritical, there are accounts, Mark Dice, Donald Trump, the President of the United States, you know what I mean? There are whole, you know, active Ku Klux Klan accounts. There are active ISIS parody accounts. Again, Mark Dice. Is an active Mark Dice and Tommy Lauren daily on the daily spread hate rhetoric and antagonize they target and antagonize the African American community for reaction. They do that on a daily basis, and they still have their accounts. Those accounts are verified.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? And I make a joke with you, and it's like, hey, you can't do that. Well, is it because I can't do it because it's wrong, or is it I can't do it because I'm not as famous as those guys?
I wonder too if it's because it's comedy, because I mean there's been a lot of people who have been trying to push the envelope, and because we are in a tumultuous time, that you know they're getting in trouble. You know what I mean? Like the Kathy Griffin thing. Now don't get me wrong, that was like way too far.
Yeah, that was super intense. Like she had like a bloody Donald Trump head or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I mean that's like crazy. But yeah, she's kind of like that,
that's
though.
Like,
but that's
like
the,
like,
that's the way
like,
she does comedy, though. I'm just saying,
yeah,
like,
but it's like,
let people
wow,
do.
Like,
no, but I hear what you're saying. Like it's weird. But I just think, like, she wasn't doing anything. You weren't doing anything. People need to have an outlet to, like, make jokes and figure things out. And if they don't, I don't know. I feel like if it gets bottled up too much, it's going to cause more trouble than, you know, offending a few people on a tweet.
Yeah, but yeah. It's like every nowadays is like, what can you do where people won't get offended?
Yeah, like, exactly.
There's you know the thing about gender reveals, like you know when you're pregnant, you reveal the gender of your baby.
Yeah,
people were complaining about that. Oh, that's transphobic. You're deciding a gender. There's people complaining about the Black Panther film. Oh, there are no LGBT people in this movie. It's LGBT phobic, and like, you know what I mean? Like if someone, I'm fat, I'm a fat person. If a fat person posts something on social media and you don't say anything, like if you make light of, oh, you're fat phobic, like everyone wants to just throw phobic in front of everything you say. They find something and you just put phobic after it. Like the world itself is becoming so sensitive and so frail. And it's just not fun anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. There definitely is like, you know, as if everyone has such a thin skin right now. There's such a weird, and it's hand in hand with like political tumultuousness to the point where it's like, you know, you say one thing and it like causes a riot or something. And it's like, okay, guys, we all need to agree on what we're really mad about and then just focus on that. It's like, don't get mad at every person. If you're mad because there aren't enough, I don't know, like, opportunities for the poor, work on that. If you think there's specific discrimination against a certain group, work on that. Don't just be all, like, yelling and screaming about everything. It can be so hard to try to say anything at all. I posted a thing on Facebook, like, 2 days ago that was like, hey, guys, let's all try to be positive. The world is a hard place. Let's say nice things about people. And I got a lot a crap back. I was like, what?
Yeah, because it's like, people hear that. Like, people hear you, like, you'll say that. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, I'm not really having a nice day. Seeing this made me feel like, and I just think because in my feelings is, like, no one asked you that. Like my mindset when it comes to social media is, you don't like it, keep scrolling.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? No one told you to open this and get offended. No one told you to get into your feelings over every little thing.
Yeah, the internet is really big.
That's what I'm saying. Like my mom raised me on a certain belief, you get what I'm saying? Like on a certain way of life. Like you don't sit here and cry and complain and try to make everyone like you and try to make everyone like do what you want to do. You just live your life. You know what I mean? And the reason, like I don't really, like, get too stressed over the Twitter suspensions and stuff like that is, like, nobody, till the day you die, people are going to talk about you, right?
Yeah.
Good or bad. You can be the most successful person in the world, and people will talk. Kevin Hart is the most successful stand-up comic right now, right? And he is the most successful in decades, if we're being honest, and people will slander Kevin Hart. Oh, he's not funny. He's not this, da da da. But it's like, so what? Like he doesn't say, hey, one person said I'm not funny, so let me stop doing comedy.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you definitely can't let people get you down. I actually usually think, and, you know, I have ups and downs myself personally about the way to deal with it, but, like, you know, sometimes I will move forward regardless of audience response. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I just want to keep making stuff. They like it. They don't like it. I'm just going to keep making it. It's for me. And, you know, you throw a bunch of things against the wall. You can't worry about what everybody's reaction is to everybody because like, someday there's going to be a person, you have to just be you. And then someday there's going to be a person who, like, listens to what you say and how you say it and says, oh, I understand. I identify with that. That's so wonderful. Like, and that's why we all have to just be ourselves, because there's people out there who need to hear what we say. Same with, like, and then there's the people who just are so sad that they want to make everything negative. Like, they just cannot enjoy.
Blow me, like, yeah, you're because, not allowed, like, to have fun online. Like,
how can you hate Kevin Hart? He's adorable. I mean, he's, like, adorable. You know what I mean? Like, he's a short man. I'll give you that. But he is just, like, so, like, everything. He's just smiley. He seems to always be having a good time. Every time I see him on anything, he's, like, excited to be there. Who doesn't like that guy? Sad people, that's who don't like him. They're like, he's exactly. having too good a time. I don't like it. You can't pander to the sads. They're going to be sad no matter what.
Yeah, and those type of people, man, those are the type of people you just, like, I don't know how to explain it, man.
Yeah. Well, it can be hard. Don't let it get you.
They're like a special type of miserable.
Yeah, I worry about those people, though. I mean, because I've had a lot of friends, you know, in and out of comedy who were just, like, could not see the sunshine. Like, absolutely were never, you know, and it's not even a matter of, like, meds, you know what I mean? Because I've had a few friends that are like that, where it's like, they're real sad, and then they go to a doctor, and then it's okay. And that's one thing. But then there's the people who are like, doesn't matter, they take all the medication that they're supposed to, do all the things they're supposed to, and yet they just refuse to see any positive things anywhere. It's hard. It's really difficult. And those people are not great comedy fans.
Those people, my mother always said, you know what I mean, is misery loves company.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, misery loves company. That's all it is, man.
Yeah. Hey, let's get off this negative topic. I'm feeling down. Yeah, I'm starting to get down. Right. I want to ask you about your writing, because I'm very impressed with the, like, all the writing that you've done. And I wondered, you know, do you have a specific process? Do you, like, sit down every day and write? Or is it, like, once a week? Do you have, like, a specific rhythm? How do you get it all done?
No, I can actually be pretty, like, today, like, I can be pretty lazy sometimes. So, like, I'll have a script or an idea, and I'll have it written down, and it'll stay there for, like, whoever knows what. And then one day, I'll just decide to pick it up, and when I actually work on it and put that energy and effort into it, I can knock out a script or two in a day. You know what I mean? Because it's not really, like, super detailed, super intricate. You know, so I can knock out a script or two in a day when I actually sit and put my mind to it. I can outline a show just like, you know, I want it to go like this. I want the characters to interact like such, like this. I want the story to be this. You know what I mean? And when, like I said, when I sit down and lock my mind into it, it comes naturally. Like, I like my siblings, I used to write their English papers and stuff like that. I have a sister in high school. I still write her English papers. You know what I mean? Like, I like writing. When it's like, when I'm motivated, it literally just clicks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it just clicks. Like, I'm a master bullshitter, in a sense. I can hop into a conversation and not know anything about it, but I can say enough to make you think I know what I'm talking about. Once you're pulled into that conversation, you know what I mean? I can switch it up, like, yeah, that's crazy, but and then switch it to something I actually know something about. Then, yeah, it's the gift of gab. I like to think I have the gift of gab.
Yeah.
So I do that, like with writing, I just apply that to writing. I like to, it's not so much I know what I'm doing or know what I'm talking about. I'm going to make you believe that I know what I'm talking about and I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that seems like an excellent skill for show business.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, wow, that's really wild. So I won't take up too much more of your time. I just wanted to ask you if you remembered the first time you were ever on stage and what that was like and the experience of it.
The first time I was on stage, July 2016, McGoobie's Joke House. I thought it was like some hole-in-the-wall type bar, and it turned out to be one of the biggest comedy clubs in Baltimore. I expected to perform in front of like 40 people tops. It ended up being like 100, 120, something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I had 8 minutes on stage, and I only had one joke. I remember all how I went down to, I'm right there, they call my name, I get up, and the first joke I make is, I'm like, oh man, all them steps, I'm too big for all that. And then someone says, it's only one step, like, and I'm like, oh my God, shit. And then my left leg goes numb. So I start, like, joking with these people on my right. And, like, my leg is, like, shaking, and I'm, like, terrified. But once I got that first laugh, I just kept going. And, like, I did so much crowd work that by the time I got to my actual joke, I ended up going over my time and getting disqualified.
Oh, my God. You did so well. It didn't work out.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. After that, the next time I did it was December 27th. Of 2017, and I took my girlfriend to an open mic, and I wanted to surprise her, and I got up and I did comedy, and I've been taking it seriously ever since. I want to say 2-3 weeks after that, I got my first paying gig. That took place in the beginning of February 2017. I did okay there. I got my first feature performance 2 weeks later, which I had one of the best sets ever in my life. Like, it opened up so many doors. So I did that. Then the following month in March, I did my first one-man show where I was only going to do 30 minutes, but I didn't know. Again, another instance where I didn't know when to get off stage. I ended up doing an hour and 15 minutes on stage. I only had about 30 minutes of stuff written. In April of 2017, I had been doing like little shows for different promoters, and there was one comedian, he's an older comedian, he would put me on his shows, but the deal was I would have to sell like 5 or 10 tickets, and these tickets would be $20 a piece, right? And I didn't get any money from those tickets. Then he tried to say I had to sell 10 tickets and try to limit me to 5 minutes on stage. Now, I had only been doing stand-up and comedy for a couple months, but if I'm making someone $200, I'm not, you know, only, I'm basically paying $200 to get 5 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
And that's just not fair to me. So I took in April, I took my last $55. I had my cousin design me a flyer. My friend at the time, he actually owned his own comedy club, so he let me get the venue for free.
Nice.
And I took the last $55. I got about 125, 150 tickets printed out. And I sold the tickets. I got a bunch of my poet friends. I got some comedy friends. And we put on the show. And I sold out my first show.
Nice.
Yeah. May, I had my first headline performance. And it went horrible. My first headline performance is actually where I got my first heckling.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So, it went good at first, because it was, remember I told you I had the breakout performance in February.
Yeah.
So, those same promoters booked me the headline.
Great.
And I'm going back and forth with this guy, and I get the best of him. And his friend says something, and I get the best of him. and his girlfriend says something, and I joke her, and the crowd is completely on my side. And I go back to my set, and then the guy in the front comes out of nowhere and says, why does your shoes look like you have type 2 diabetes? And the crowd could not stop laughing. And I'm like, God damn it. And, like, eventually, like, I completely lost the crowd. They were completely on his side. And I got back to, I bounced back. I got back into my set, but it just wasn't the same. So, yeah, I didn't do as bad. Like, once I got off stage, all the other comedians, oh, he did great. But I felt like I did horrible because I actually let him get, like, a solid joke in.
Hey, man, yeah, so. You know, you got to have all these experiences, though, so that way, you know, you can do it next time. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find a way to get above it or at least talk louder than the guy who's trying to insult you.
That's all you really need to do. So after that, I ended up, that's right. Beginning of July, I actually drove to New Jersey and snuck into the back of Kevin Hart's TV taping.
Oh.
Yeah, and I ended up meeting his manager, and I was sitting like 2 seats over from Kevin Hart.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would ask how you snuck in, but I don't want you to give me any trade secrets, and also I'm recording, so I don't want you to legally have any recourse for sneaking into anywhere. So we're going to assume someone invited you.
Yeah, let's say that. Someone invited me.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so how was that? Me. How was that experience?
It was cool. So what happened was my buddy actually got me a pass to go backstage. But it was the past that crew, like I was part of the production crew.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, he's like, hey, just stand near the snack table and just relax and lounge out. I'm like, all right, cool. And as soon as he left, I immediately went around and started talking to people. I was taking out trash. I was like taping wires down. And I eventually bumped into Kevin Hart's manager, and we ended up having a nice conversation or whatever. He's a pretty good guy. And yeah, so I ended up, that's how I ended up doing, you know, getting back to the TV taping. I actually went to my first television taping the following month in August. And it's wild because prior to that, the day before, I had a show in Pittsburgh. And we drove to Pittsburgh, and we were an hour away, and my car broke down on a turnpike.
Oh, God.
And we were stranded in Pennsylvania forever. Until a tow truck came and got us there. And then it's like, I want to say like 10:30, 11 at night. And they're like, yeah, 5 minutes, we had your car been running. And then they come back like, yeah, you need a new car. Your engine's trash. We don't know how you're going to get back to Baltimore. And my girlfriend calls and she's like, okay, I'm on my way. So she drives down and she comes and picks me and my camera guy up. And we driving back and we hit like a toolbox in the middle of the road. And we had to get that, so that was like 12:30, 1 in the morning, and we're driving. After we get the toolbox from under the car, we're driving again for another 20, 30 minutes, and next thing you know, we get a flat. I'm like, God damn it. So I get out the car to change the flat, and it starts thunderstorming and pouring down raining on me. And my girlfriend is like laughing in the car, like cracking up. But she's like, you know what I mean, like, what else could possibly go wrong?
Right.
So it stops raining, and I get the lug nuts off the car, except for one, because that one ends up needing a key that neither me or my girlfriend has. So now we're in Pennsylvania with the lug nut stuck on the car of the tire, you know, on the tire that we need to change because it's flat. So we had to find another tow truck to come out and get it, you know what I mean? And that's when the luck turned around, because he did it for, like, pretty cheap. Back to Baltimore around like 6 in the morning Friday.
Oh my God.
I had to be back up at 11 to go pick up a rental car to drive to New York to do a TV taping.
That is so wild. What a day. Wild. But you got it done, right?
Yeah. We did the TV taping. We didn't end up going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, it seems like that wasn't in the cards, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh, though. I'm sure they'd be happy to welcome you back.
You know what? I would love to. I've never gone. I've never performed there. I would love to perform there. We, last month in January, I sold out Sully's Comedy Cellar. We had over 130-something people there. that was pretty cool because I was like so nervous about the turnout. It was my first time hosting. It was just like, and it all turned out to be so like great. So
it seems like things are going really well for you, and also that you're like hustling and really like getting out there and getting it done for yourself. I mean, what keeps you motivated and keeps you going?
I hate the fact. Okay, so like I don't want to work a 9-to-5, right?
Sure.
So like that's one thing. Like I just want to create. That if I could sit back and just get paid to create all day, that's what I want. Like right now, I want to say I'm working at 60%, and I just need to get. If I can just get to 100%, where I'm just 100% into it, like, and I'm like all my free time is going into comedy and writing and creating, then that's a whole new monster in itself. But you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't want to work. Like I feel like working just isn't for me. Like a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I've been working since I was 15, man. My first job was Burger King. I stayed there until I was about 20. Then I got a job at a hospital. And those, you know, it's a great job. Don't get me wrong, but it's just like clocking in and out, and I don't know. It's just not.
Yeah,
it's
I hear just
not what I envisioned. Yeah. So like, that's what motivates me. That and my family. Like I said, we have a little girl. I want to give my girlfriend like everything. I want to give my daughter everything. I don't want them to have to sacrifice for anything. So that's what really motivates me. Being able to take my girlfriend or my little sister to an award show just because I got invited. Mm-hmm. That stuff like that's what motivates me. I want to get to that point where yeah. I'm at the Oscars and I'm like, oh yeah, well you know what? Let me just take my sisters and my girlfriend and we can all just go. You know, they can just be in front of the cameras.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you get to go to the Oscars someday. That would be wonderful. Maybe it'll be for one of the movies you've written. It'll be great.
Hopefully.
Well, listen, Kyrie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening to chat with me. And thank you so much for your patience with me.
It's all good.
Audience, you know as well as I do that Amy doesn't do well with technology, so it's been tough. But thank you so much for chatting with me and sharing all this stuff. I really wish you well. I hope that everything goes well in Baltimore. And, you know, I'd love to chat with you as things move forward. And hey, you know, my job, like what I do to make money is like I teach theater. So like I teach comedy, I teach writing and improv and stuff like that. So, you know, we're friends now. Any help I can do for you, anything I can do, you let me know. If you see me tweeting about somebody that I know or anything, please connect with me. Because you seem to be full speed ahead on towards a successful career, and I look forward to someday talking to somebody else and seeing you on TV and going, hey, I know that guy! Oh my God! So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast.